We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program Caregiver Dave Nassani. Dave, how are you? You're in your studio. It just
good. Yeah. You're
always on the go, right, Dave?
Yeah.
That's what a caregiver does. He's busy.
Yes. Yes. You're right about that.
Yeah. You go from being
it's a crazy day, as you all know.
Well, yeah, we can talk about that in our time.
All right.
Show in another time. Dave, I'm sure we're going to find out more about what happened on January 6th in our history books forever. But we have an amazing guest. I really like her, the way she uses her music to make a difference. So go ahead and introduce our guest.
Yes. Nashville's rising star, Faith Schuler. And I had the privilege of listening to one of her videos. And it was the one, Faith, where you're in the car and you're dancing in the dirt. What was that one about?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here tonight. So the video he's talking about is my One Love Song at a Time music video, which we recorded in February of 2020. So right before this whole, you know, pandemic craziness started. But I had so much fun recording it. We used like an old Jeep and
it looked like you were having fun.
Oh, it was just the best time. That was like my first ever music video. So, I mean, I was just having a blast the whole time.
And I caught some chemistry, electricity going on between you two. Is he your real boyfriend?
Yeah, he is. He is my real boyfriend.
I can pick him.
You need to have that chemistry, Faith.
It was awesome.
Make sure he could be in other videos, because then there'll be issues, right? Oh, what's happening in this one?
You know,
it's a great song. Did you write that? Are you a songwriter?
Yes, I am a songwriter, and I did write that song. I had the honor of writing One Love Song at a Time with Chris Bergsness and Greg Beek in Nashville. That was kind of one of the first songs we ever got together and did a co-write. And oh my goodness, it was so much fun, and I'm so excited for how the song turned out. We did a whole EP, actually, which was super fun. And so ever since then, like, we've kind of been a little team, and I've just been working with these writers in Nashville, and we're just cranking out the music.
You definitely seem like you're cranking out the music, and that's fantastic. So, Dave, go to your first question for Faith.
So let's start from the very beginning. When did this all start? Do you always want to be a performer? As a little girl, you were singing into your little microphone, your Barbie microphone?
Yeah, actually, I was. That was me, the little girl, you know, dancing and singing in the living room constantly. I'm sure my parents were like,
putting on shows.
Please, just some silence for 2 seconds. But really, growing up, music was always my passion. I grew up singing in the church, and I really discovered my love for music and writing around like the age of 11. And from there, I was like, right then, I was like, okay, I want to make a career out of this, and this is what I want to pursue. And ever since then, I have just been pursuing that career, and it's just been so much fun.
And see, that's a great
thing. How long have you been doing this?
So for my whole life, but I have been doing this professionally or as a career probably for over 8 years now.
Oh, wow.
When did you make that decision that you wanted to make it?
I really got serious about it at probably 12. That was like when I was like, okay, I want to start songwriting. But I didn't start recording until I was 14 or 15 years old. Probably 15 when I recorded, and I was around 14 when I wrote my first song, Who Holds Your Heart. So it was fun. It's been an experience, and it's been a long time coming, and it's taken a lot of hard work, but it's honestly a blessing that I get to pursue this career.
Let's talk a little bit about it. Yeah, I wanted to jump a question, and then we'll get you. Is so the challenge of songwriting, Faith? This is something I ended up I'm thinking the NBC show Songland. I've interviewed some people from Songland, and it's just highlighting a songwriter and how at times you're not going to get to perform that song you've written. Has that happened to you yet, Faith? And how do you break down writing a song? How does that process begin? Like any other type of writing?
Right. So I have been fortunate and blessed to work with all of the writers that have written songs with me. So I know a lot of people, they'll have people write songs for them, and then they'll obviously sing the song. But I'm a part of all of writing my own songs. So that's super fun. I get to be a part of it. I try to make everything just really my style, and I try to really be a part of everything because it is me singing it. And I believe that what makes a song so great is the emotion that you put into it. And so my goal with that was really just to be a part of writing these songs with these people so I could deliver that emotion through my song and, you know, touch people the way that I have wanted to, you know, help inspire them. So yeah, it's definitely been a cool journey because I've learned so much about songwriting along the way.
Cool.
I know that one day I'll probably get to the point where, you know, someone will write an amazing song and be like, Faith, I want you to sing this, which would be such an honor because I know that there are like phenomenal songwriters out there. But I have had the honor of working with some really amazing songwriters and I've just been growing and learning and it's an awesome experience.
Now, is your gift lyrics and melody or one or the other?
So first it was melody. Like I found that I was coming up with these really intricate and cool melodies that I didn't even know I had it in me. But I think that it's just like rhythm. And I used to be a dancer when I was little. So I was always like, you know, playing with cool beats and stuff, just dancing. And I think that really gave me a sense of rhythm. So melodies at first was my go-to. And then I started working with Chris Bergsness and Greg Beek, and they kind of took me under their wing and they taught me how to truly songwrite. And I was able to take all of the thoughts and emotions that I had and put those into words, which is the most beautiful thing about writing music.
Sure.
So I did get really pretty more solid in my songwriting. So I would say both.
Cool.
Yeah. So let's kind of now, Faith, can you talk about what do you enjoy more? Singing, performing, or writing?
So I definitely enjoy performing. Mostly, I do enjoy performing my own songs, though, because that is like the coolest experience ever. It's like I created this song out of nothing, you know?
Exactly.
Like this is my artwork and I get to share this with people. But I started singing and I feel like that's really what got me to where I am today. If I didn't sing, I don't know if I'd necessarily be a songwriter. So I guess I have to weigh it, you know, like that. So singing has definitely been my strength throughout the years. And songwriting has been something I recently, you know, got into and dove deeper into. And now they just go hand in hand. So
what's the message you're trying to portray or create or, you know, communicate with your songs? Is there a certain theme that it all has? I only listened to one, so I can't answer that.
Yeah, well, that's a great question because I don't know if I wanted, like, intended for this to happen the way it has, but I feel like all the songs that I've written have, like, an underlying message to them, and I'm a very inspirational person. Anyone who, you know, will ask you that, I'm the person people go to when they, you know, are feeling down or they just need a little pep talk. And I feel like I've always just been that very nurturing, you know, person.
You're a coach.
So, pretty much. But I feel like that's a gift that God did give me and I want to use that. So all of my songs do have an underlying message to them and I try to make everything very real. I want life to be very present in my songs. I don't want to sugarcoat anything or, but at the same time, I want to make them somehow into something positive, even if that's a breakup song or, for example, my new song, March On Girl, it's all about girl power and it's all about, you know, overcoming and taking a bad situation and turning it into something positive and marching on. So I am finding that my songs do kind of go hand in hand here because they all have a message that I want to reach people and I want to, you know, help anyone no matter what situation they are in.
Now, Faith, when you talk about that, you know, we said about the whole process, who do you think you emulate? Who would you say you want to become or have, you know, not idols, but people that you look up into music saying, I really want to kind of build to something like that, but be your own, but you like ones that you kind of emulate. Who would you say as performers?
Absolutely. So I think there are amazing artists out there, especially female artists. I look up to so many female artists, but some of my favorites are Carrie Underwood. I just love how all of her songs kind of do something similar. She just really sticks to her guns and her beliefs, and I respect that so much. And a lot of her music is just very real feeling to me, as well as Maren Morris. I've noticed that she has just come out with some phenomenal songs, just super encouraging, and I can tell that people listen to what she has to say, and I do respect that so much. So Carrie Underwood and Maren Morris have really impressed me in their songwriting and the way that they can reach people. I find that very inspiring.
Those are great mentors. Who's your fan base? Who are the kinds of people who follow you? Are they younger, older, all
a
of the above?
Bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do have some younger and then older too. I also have, like, you know, my mom, I love her, but she'll go and she'll be like, my daughter, she's just so proud, but she has her whole little fan group, you know? So on Facebook, they'll always be, you know, keeping up with me, but I have been accumulating a lot of the younger crowd. I've just been trying to use Instagram and TikTok and Twitter and all of those fun platforms to really reach out to these younger people, because I think that's ideally what I want to do, because of the messages that I am portraying and trying to speak out. I want, you know, the younger people to hear that, because I think that what I have to say is important, and I would just love to impact their life.
So you made your mother the president of your fan club, huh?
Pretty much. Well, I think she made herself that, but we love her. She's like my number one. She's so supportive of me, and like, she really is just a proud mom, and also my momager and my roadie. So
there you go.
She's helped me out a lot.
And that's so interesting. I guess when you're listening, you talk about, you know, specifically enough, your fan base and all that stuff. Is that very important to you, especially at this phase of your career where, you know, you have certain goals to keep going up the ladder, but you really want to keep that fan base together, even if you can't perform live at this time as much as you want?
Oh my goodness. Yes. It's so important to me. I just want to give everyone a hug, honestly, because like, they don't understand how that impacts me. I'm doing something very bold here. Like, when you write a song and it's vulnerable and it is like basically sharing a little piece of yourself with the world, and then you have people come back and be like, wow, this has impacted me in no ways that you could even imagine, or thank you, I've been going through this and this song helped me. Like, that means more to me than anything at all. And I want to thank them a million times for that, just because I would not be where I am without them. And I would not be doing what I'm doing or pursuing what I'm trying to pursue here without fans and without people behind me supporting me. And I want to give them, you know, support just as much as they give me support.
So when was your last tour, and do you miss it? Of course you do.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's been a while since I performed live. I did do kind of a live stream thing at one of the biggest stadiums I've ever performed at, actually. And I was, it was interesting because all the seats in front of me were empty. I was like, man, this isn't how I envisioned it. But, you know, so I did try to do like a mini live tour using Facebook and other live streaming platforms, and it turned out pretty good. I'm excited with how it happened. I do wish I could have been there in person, you know, to meet people, but I still had support, and that honestly meant even more to me, because people, even through this hard time, were still watching me and still following me and supporting me. And so I got to perform at the North Charleston Performing Arts Center here in Charleston, and I mean, it was just a blast. I had so much fun.
Now, Faith, when you talk about specifically the state, what stadium did you perform at when you did the live stream?
Right. It was so it was the Performing Arts Center at the Coliseum here. And it was, I mean, we had it all. We had the lighting. I got to perform with another local artist, Greg Keys, and we wrote a song together called Ever Yours. And we kind of split the set, so I took half and then he took half, but we had a full band, we had the lighting.
Nice.
like in-ear monitors, I mean, all the way down to like what you would set up for a full concert, a full live concert, but it was just, you know, empty. So it was different, but we did have people watching virtually, and still it was just such a great experience.
So does the pandemic depress you? I mean, how are you handling it? How are you getting over it?
Yeah, that's a good question. so when it first hit, I was very devastated because not only just about me, but about everyone else. I'm like,
so you had to cancel a lot of stuff.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And I couldn't even fathom in my head, like how big this was going to be. I don't think anyone could.
Or how long.
So I remember they were like, oh, it's only going to be like a few weeks. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. No, but really I at first was a little sad about it. I don't want to use the word depressed because that's a very big word. But I was definitely saddened by the entire thing. And I had just released an EP and my hopes were like all the way up to here because I was like, oh yeah, my first EP, this is going to be my year. And then the pandemic hit and I was like, oh no,
oh, like, goodness
this yeah. ain't how it's supposed to go now. but I did come to a realization that, okay, instead of sitting here and just being upset all the time and getting, you know, sad about things all the time and having a negative attitude about these things, why don't I try to, you know, value the time that I do have and you know, put that towards making me be a better person, a better artist. So I really changed my perspective on the whole thing. And I actually got to discover, you know, using live to reach my fans and using very different forms of interaction with my friends and fans. And it became something that actually helped me. And I can honestly say that even though this year has been a terrible year in the world, and I know that there has been so much corruption and so much bad going on, this has been one of the best years for my music, and more things have happened to me. Good things have happened to me in my music career this year than any year before.
I think, Faith, if you have a positive attitude, things will work out. And that's the biggest important thing. You have your faith, you have your beliefs, you believe and you faith that things will work out regardless of how difficult they are.
You're living up to your name.
You have to. Well, that's perfect.
Yeah, and, I agree.
And I think it's just something that, you know, drives you in certain ways. Well, you know what? This wasn't too good, but I'm going to stay positive and I'm going to keep moving forward. And it seems like you've done that. And that's very good. And what do you think your aspirations are as an artist? Where do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
That's a big question. So I'm a dreamer. Like, I'm the kind of person who just shoots for the stars. That's how I've always been. That's how I was raised. And just like you said earlier, if you speak it, if you believe it, I believe it will happen. And if you go into anything with a positive attitude, I do believe it'll happen. I have worked so hard my whole life. Like, this is, I've sacrificed a lot too. Like, throughout high school, like, I was pursuing this career and, I did sacrifice a lot and I worked my tail off to get where I am today. But the cool thing about that is, you know, it has gotten me here and I aspire to be so much bigger than what I am right now. I mean, this is just another stepping stone in my journey, I feel like. And I really hope to just be able to reach millions of people with my music. I hope to have a huge impact on people through what I have to say. That's probably like my ultimate goal, is just to know that I have helped someone else and I have reached someone else using whether it's personal experience or something I've written about. So that's one of my big goals, but I would also just love to be able to fill an entire stadium and just, you know, sing my heart out and do what I love to do most. And I think it was that. So I went to a Casey Musgraves concert before the pandemic hit. It was like 2 years ago. And I was just watching her perform. And she wasn't even like doing much. Like, she was just sitting there just singing. And everyone's eyes were just locked on her. Like, it was just her moment. And people were singing with her and they knew all the lyrics to her song. And I was like, wow, what it would be like to, you know, get to that point in life and just be able to fill a stadium where everyone's eyes are just locked on you and they know the words to a song that you wrote. And so I think that was my realization that, yeah, that's exactly what I want to be doing. So
if it's on your bucket list, it will happen.
It will happen. Exactly. And you can't give up when there's things in the road. Like, for example, a lot of my businesses I've grown, I didn't think it would end up this way to get there. Mm-hmm. Or even, you know, I've had a radio show, TV show for 11 years and I've done over 7,000 episodes, you know, or more. I don't know. I've not gotten a team to go and count my total, but there's a lot of stuff to have to go through, but I'm just trying to give an estimate. But ultimately I can't believe where I am today. But I wouldn't have thought this is the way my journey would have happened. So I think that we have to always be open to new opportunities, new doors to open, and your big break, meaning big break of your dreams of being and, you know, performing in front of arenas. It's just one opportunity, one time someone spots you and says, wow, this is it. And there you go.
I know. I do agree with you when you said you have to be open for opportunities, because we can have a plan in our head and we all know that our plan doesn't go the way we want it to all the time. And so it is important to be open to other plans and to your ultimate path and, you know, where God may be leading you or, you know, your journey is leading you, because you have to be willing to accept criticism and accept when someone's exactly. like, oh, maybe you need to do this.
At least you're figuring it out at a young time. You're accepting criticism. I didn't when I was a performer, as a professional wrestler, so many years.
Oh, yeah.
I was bullheaded. If I got in the business, I'd say, which I'm considering, I would say, oh, you know what? I'm not going to, I will just, who cares? Just move on, take the criticism and move on and try to improve and become better. And I think that's right. important for sure.
Oh, Gabe, sure.
I have a 2-part question for you.
Okay.
So I know there's a lot of aspiring singers out there who look toward you and, maybe they need advice or something. What advice would you give to someone who wants to do what you're doing? And my second part of the question, how much does faith in God, you know, play in that part? And also, when was the first time that you just knew that this wasn't just a pipe dream and that, you know, you can give up driving the cab, for example, and you say,
right.
wow, I've really made it. I've really been validated.
Right. That's a really, really good few questions. So to answer your first question, to anyone who is trying to pursue what I am pursuing, and man, I am still on that same path with you. We're rowing that boat together because I'm not there yet. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. But if you are just starting out and you have this dream and you have a passion for something, that is a gift. Like, that truly is not something that everyone is given, and everyone has their strengths and everyone has their gifts. And I think it's beautiful, whether you play sports or you're in theater or an actress or a singer, and the list goes on and on and on. But I think that if you are truly passionate for something such as music or being a performer or a singer, I think it is so important to never lose sight of your ultimate goal. And I know that when you have a dream, it seems huge. It seems so big. But the ultimate thing you could probably do for yourself is set little goals for yourself so you feel like you are accomplishing things along the way. And mm-hmm. you can kind of check things off of your bucket list so you don't lose hope. And you are always striving towards something else. I think that's very, very important when you're doing this. And also just have fun with it. Be yourself. Don't be afraid to express who you are. And don't be afraid to, you know, go a little out of your box and share your own music. If you feel like in your heart you have a gift for writing, then be a writer and, you know, share your music or your song or your poems with the world. Because, I mean, people want to hear that. And your experience could benefit someone else in more ways than you could even imagine. So
yeah. And faith, when do you decide, you know, I've been doing this long enough, nothing's developed, I'm going to give up, I'm going to get a real job, or just having faith that God's going to take you all the way?
Right. So that's another really tricky and good question. So I always have a plan B, but I know that while, you know, I'm young, like I'm giving it my all. Like this is my time to shine here. But I always want to have something in my head that I'm working towards. So let's say something maybe doesn't work out or it's not the right timing for me. Well, okay, at least I'm doing this. So right now, for example, I'm a full-time college student and I'm still pursuing my music career, but I've managed it in a way where I'm taking online courses. I can travel to Nashville. I'm still taking my online courses, but I'm also doing what I love to do. Yeah. And so I'm always have that little plan B there for my life because being a musician, it is unpredictable. You don't know when your next show is all the time. You don't know when your next paycheck might be all the time. And it is scary. And you do have to get to a point where it is consistent or you are under a label or you, you know, you do have those paychecks coming in because we all know you can't survive without money. So I do understand that. But definitely don't give up. Keep pursuing. And even if you have to have a full-time job, like if this is your passion, always just try to do little things, whether that's writing a song here or there and sharing it on your Instagram or whatever it may be, just continue doing what you love to do. Because if you lose sight of that, I feel like it could honestly just be devastating to someone. It would be devastating to me if I just had to up and drop music and said, all right, I'm done singing.
that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. All right. So Dave has his final question. It's evolving caregiving. And it's always interesting to hear different celebrities and different entertainers and different authors answer this question. So go ahead, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone seems to have a caregiver story. I mean, my story is 24 years ago, my wife had a headache, had a stroke, lost her speech, became paralyzed on one side. And we've been going through this, but the first 2 years was really, really bad. But now we've gotten our stride. She's reinvented herself and we get along great. In fact, where our love has never been stronger and we're happy. And she still only has use of one arm, one leg. Her speech is impaired, et cetera. But I believe that everyone is going to eventually either become a caregiver or need a caregiver. It's this tsunami coming, you know? And my question to you, Faith, is, how has caregiving touched your life or has it?
Absolutely. So first of all, I'm so sorry to hear that, but I am glad that she's doing better and she is, you know, doing a lot better. That's good.
Thank you.
But I'm sorry to hear that. So, caregiving has definitely been a part of my life. I, have not had anything very devastating happen to me, but I have lost loved ones, in the past and I've seen, how that's affected my family and how, like I was very close to my granny and she passed away when I was 8 years old and I just saw what she had to go through and, with hospice and everything. It was just very, different for me to see at such a young age. I don't think I quite understood what was going on. But definitely I've been blessed, you know, nothing tragic or life threatening has happened to me, but I have seen it through family members and I just understand, you know, how serious that can be. And I'm just thankful for the nurses and the doctors who are there to help and who spend hours and days just countlessly helping people after people. I know it's got to be exhausting. So definitely I've seen it in that way.
Thank you.
It's just interesting, Dave, to see those different caregiving stories and to learn more information on Dave, go to caregiverdave.com. Now, Faith, tell me specifically enough where people can find your music.
Okay.
Download it and check it out. Where can they go?
Absolutely. So you can find my music on all streaming platforms, whether you like to listen to Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music. It's on all streaming platforms. So I am working on some more music that I'm going to be releasing very soon, and I'm excited to share with y'all. I also have a website at faithshuler.com. That's S-C-H-U-E-L-E-R. And I always post tour dates. I'm working on some new merchandise. I post when I'm releasing new music, and it's all on my website. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome, Faith. We appreciate you coming by, and it's just amazing to see how faith-filled you are in the way you live your life at such a young age, meaning a college student.
Wow.
You know, I didn't have that maturity your age, and I'm very impressed. And I'm sure that more people will be impressed with your music the more you go out there and get going. So I appreciate you coming by.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the kind words. And thank you guys so much for taking your time to interview me today. It's been so much fun, and I look forward to doing it again sometime.
Oh, absolutely.
You're so sweet. Awesome. Thank you. Right.
Thanks, thank guys. You. Okay.
Y'all have a great night.
You too. Okay, that was the Caregiver Dave Celebrity segment. Take care.
Okay. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.